Morning, Ben. Lovely to see you this morning.
How are you doing, Sam? You all right?
Very, very good. And good to have a new Ben Wheatley film in cinemas.
I haven't actually seen it yet with an audience, so I'm quite looking forward to seeing it.
When you get to this point in the film, you know, it's about to go to release, do you like to go to a public screening and just sort of sneak in at the back, see what people are doing?
Well, generally not, no. But generally, I'd have seen it by now with the festival audience. And that's enough. And I go, right, okay, fine. I can, you know, I don't have to do this anymore. I know what the reactions are like. I think when we do the Q&A screenings, I would usually go in for the last 10 minutes just to see, or the last 5 minutes, A, to make sure I'm not late for the Q&A, and B, just, you know, gauge the audience's general feelings. And that's been really interesting doing that up and down the country, because it's very, you know, you get very different audiences all over the place.
My former life was a projectionist, so I'd sort of love just sticking my head and be like, people should be laughing about now, and if they weren't, you know, what was wrong with that audience? What was the mood in the room then?
Well, they could be very different, you know. I mean, I think I did a screening up in Inverness, and it was really quiet when I went in at the end, and I was like, oh dear God, they really hate it. But then that night, the level of like online chat was really, really high, and it was just just the way that they were, you know, they were
processing. So I mean, I'd love when we get to play your films in cinemas and see them on the big screen, because you pack so much in. But I guess within the Earth, it was a slightly different journey for you making this movie. When you made this over lockdown, but when in lockdown did you actually think, I'm going to write a film and direct a film, and that's what I'm going to do with this period of time?
Well, I started with thinking about writing a film. So the directing a film is a big step. The writing of a film is not so much of a big step, because it's just you and a typewriter and a printer usually. So within the first week, I started writing. And I wrote a few scripts, you know, not to polished finish, but just to kind of run the pen around the paper and see what I got. But In the Earth was one of those. And then I started talking to Andy Stark, producer, and we were like, well, we could... You know, maybe there's a space to do something, because, and this often happens when there's been a bigger film that doesn't quite happen. So say with Field in England was a similar situation where we were going to do a much bigger movie. It didn't happen. And we're like, oh Christ, let's make something this year. And then it came together and we did it. And Colin Burstead was similar as well in that respect. So this was the same, where I was meant to be doing a bigger Hollywood film, but it kind of got bogged down in COVID. And then we're like, right, we've got a chance to work together again. That's brilliant. Let's just do it. And then we thought, you know, that the first wave is going to end in the summer. So if we aim towards the summer to shoot, then it should be reasonably safe and they should be able to get crew to do it. But it was never guaranteed, you know, right up to the last minute, we're like, ooh, and then it slowly unclenched around June time. And then we went for it.
Did you find yourself becoming a bit of a, you know, hooked on the news and an amateur scientist, just having a, trying to predict what you could be able to do?
I think everyone was hooked on the news, weren't they? I mean, it seems to have been the biggest news cycle I've had in my life, along with the American elections as well on top of that, which seemed to go on for months. You know, I don't think I've consumed as much news as this in my whole life. I could do without any more news, frankly.
Yeah, it's been really nice to not feel, it doesn't feel as essential right now, which is good. And I can carry on watching telly.
We watched TV last night and Trump came on and we're like, oh, who's that guy? You.
So you've got your script and you're talking about going into production. When you were writing, you were thinking like, because the film is largely set outside and that feels like something that might be easier to do. Were you like, if we're going to make it now, we need to bear these restrictions in mind, it needs to be largely set outside to get this off the ground?
Yeah, totally. I mean, that's part of that kind of bag of pragmatic filmmaking ticks. I mean, you might end up shooting something outside anyway, not just because of COVID, just because, you know, because it is what a woodland gives you is a load of aesthetic interest, whereas you don't really want to be stuck shooting inside a house, maybe, you know. Or I've done that already, that movie a couple of times. So it was definitely part of the thinking of going, well, it's actually a hell of a lot safer for transmission to shoot outside than it is to shoot inside. But we can make our production value go a lot further by shooting outside.
Did you have a place in mind, or was even like scouting for locations during COVID, were people sort of raising eyebrows at you when you're asking for permission to shoot there?
No, not really. I mean, I mean, it's not like we did a lot of scouting, to be honest. I think we saw about two other places in the place we shot at, but it's all within a couple of hours of my house. We didn't go up and down the country scouring it. But then you wouldn't anyway, to be honest. It's because it's just the way that these things are. But then the people outside, I mean, we went to some places where people were much less bothered about COVID the further we got into the countryside, to be honest. Probably because they didn't have it as bad because of the density of population or something. I don't know, but.
What was it like? You know, you've got a really great cast in the film. It's a story that focuses on a really tight cast of characters, which I love. It really lets you get into the character relationships. How did you go about casting I guess it's reasonably short notice on this particular project?
Yeah, but also no one had worked for 5 months, so it wasn't like people didn't want to do it. I mean, the only issue we had, a vague issue, was that we'd heard from members of the crew that they were worried that they weren't match fit. You know, they'd been sitting around for 5 months or 4 months and they weren't, you know, they're worried about doing the long, long days. Fair enough. I was the same, you know, you're quite kind of stuck inside your four walls. And it was quite emotional and weird to be outside, to be honest. When we all met up for the first time, it was like quite freaky. And certainly that shoot, it was the first time I'd seen more than my family for months and months and months. So it's weird, isn't it, how the feeling of it goes away so quick as well, that as you go to, as it moves towards normality again, it all seems like a weird dream. Like the actual time scales of how long we were indoors are kind of hard, a little bit hard to pin down, you know, in your memory.
Absolutely. It's been like a one long day the last year for me. Yeah. In these four walls.
Yeah, well, we added a new name for the days of the week, and it's like someday. It's like, day is it someday? I don't know.
It was just sort of like the day certain TV shows would drop would be the way I was kind of realizing what day of the week it was. Like, oh yeah, there's a new one of those tonight. All right. It's Bake Off Day or something, you know. It's really nice to see you working with Reese Shearsmith again. You know, worked with him a number of times.
I like that segue from Bake Off to Reese Shearsmith. I see exactly how your mind works.
That was deeply, deeply subconscious. But yeah, it must have been there. When you were writing this, did you have Reese in mind particularly for that character?
Yes, definitely. Yeah, I mean, that would have been where I would have started with Reese, and just thinking, oh, you know, what can I? If he'll say yes to do something, what can I do with him?
Yeah, I'm such a big fan of his work, and I love him in your films. So good in Field in England. And what do you enjoy about working with Reese? Because you get him to play very particular characters, which he's so good at in your stuff.
One of the main things about Reese, apart from the kind of steel trap precision of his performances, apart from, put all that aside, because it's, you know, that's a given, he's really brilliant at acting, but it's also the depth of knowledge that he has for horror. And he knows far deeper than I do. He's understanding of horror and magic and all these things, so it's kind of, as soon as he comes to a part, he kind of elevates it, so I can relax a tiny bit that my writing will be propped up by his great performance. Basically,
he's got quite a I think his look in the film is sort of very 2020. Is that largely how he arrived on set?
Well, he had his beard, he didn't have his hair wasn't as long as that, but yeah. But then this is one of the things about that's unique to this production, is that you can say to Reese, oh, in 5 months time, can you have a beard? And he can say, yeah, I can, because I definitely will have one. But also the same thing happened with the camera testing. We had months and months of camera testing that we never would have had normally, and Clint Mansell's score was, you know, we arrived on set and he'd written the whole score for it.
Oh, wow.
You know, already. So it was good to have been talking to Clint since the beginning of the writing process. So again, that would be a rare way of working normally.
I love the music for this. Obviously, sound is really important in a lot of your films, in this film particularly. But yeah, what were you talking about with Clint when you started to write and started to, you know, let him know about for the movie?
Well, I mean, it was mainly talking about the idea of putting the music as forward in the film as possible, that it wasn't going to be, because when we worked on Rebecca, it was very specifically, we talked about underscore and about beds for emotion and stuff like that. But this was the complete opposite, where it's the music is right up the front, and there's nothing between you and the viewer and the music. It's very present. And it was the idea of it being diegetic and non-diegetic at the same time, and that he's basically writing a live concert for Dr. Wendell in a way, a lot of it. And then also how it joins hands with Martin Pavey's sound design, so that they're kind of on an equal footing sometimes and then other times not. So that was the beginning of the conversation. And then it was just a lot of experimentation. And one of the things that was cool about it was that, you know, Clint would do his demos, and then the demos would get arranged, and then the parts would be put out to a massive orchestra, and you go and record it and you get it back and it'd be amazing. But this, it's coming straight from Clint, So the fingers pressing the buttons are Clint's fingers, you know, it's coming from his studio because it's a fully electronic score. You know, each department had to deal with that kind of slightly cottage industry homemade stuff. But I love electronic scores, and you know, that is the reason that they are mainly in horror movies, because of the of a kind of a budgetary thing, but it's cool.
I think you're right, it really adds to the texture of the film. That sort of, I guess you just had to have had a more stripped down production because of everything going on around you, but it totally works.
Yeah, but the budget of In the Earth is not dissimilar to Kill List's Field in England, Down Terrace, Colin Burstead, all around that kind of sub £1 million thing. I mean, you know, Field was £300,000, I think. So it's not an unusual thing. It's not specifically COVID why it was stripped down. One of the things we did find when we were doing the film is that we found a schedule for Carpenter's Halloween, and the schedule and budget were the same as ours, pretty much. I mean, I think he had about two more days to shoot, but in adjusted dollar, you know, for inflation, it's a similar budget. And that felt good, you know, that we were making something that was within the same boundaries of proper boundaries of genre, you know.
That's great. Yeah, I think it, I sort of, it does have that classic horror feel to it as well, when you're talking about sort of 70s horror. And I watched The Shout over lockdown, and just in terms of how you both films use sound and being shot on location in England, it sort of, you know, I think they'd make a nice double bill maybe. When you were making it, obviously cinemas were closed. Did you think, you know, this will have a cinema release or just go to streaming? Like, did you know where this film would end up?
No, I mean, but then you don't generally, unless you're making something that's specific for a streamer. It's always a bit of a punt because you don't know what traction the film will get or what festival screening will be like. You know, if it's a really good reaction, then, oh, right, okay, this could be a cinema release. If it's not so great, then maybe not. So it's not, none of these things are taken for granted, I don't think. Obviously, the film is designed to be seen in the cinema, so that's what we were hoping for. But you know, you just don't know, you know, what's going to happen. And cinema itself and the exhibition business changes so massively from year to year that, you know, smarter minds than mine are trying to predict what's going to happen and not getting it right. So I've got no clue, you know.
It must have been pretty exciting when, you know, Sundance accepted the film and you knew that you'd have your world premiere, but not in Park City, on the internet, via Park City.
Yeah, well, this is the thing. It's like bittersweet because you kind of go, oh, brilliant, it's in Sundance, but oh no, we're not going to get that screening at, you know, that everyone will be there seeing the film as it's supposed to be seen. But then the film wouldn't exist without COVID. So that's just the way it is, you know. But it's been interesting that basically no critics up until a couple of weeks ago had seen it in the cinema. They'd all seen it on laptops, which is a kind of a big sadness. You know, and when we've been getting people to actually go and see it in the cinema, the reaction is really, really positive. So it's kind of, I think it does make a difference to be reviewing stuff on at home, basically. It's not the same, you know.
Absolutely. Like I got to watch the film at Sundance, and I was just thinking, I wish I could see this in the cinema. And I was so pleased when I heard it was going to have a theatrical distribution, and they've been doing press screenings in the cinema now, and like they're really going for it.
Been the big thing of the last couple of weeks is the actual press screenings. I've been really happy about that because it's very intense, and if you can turn it down and go and have a cup of tea in the middle of it, it makes a very different experience.
Yeah. You know, being fully immersed is a huge boon, and no internet buffering, which has been an issue for me. Unexpected intervals.
Yeah, that's the terror, isn't it? It's not how the film was intended, I can tell you.
Yeah. You could troll the audience by putting it in, but I mean, it's amazing that we're getting to see this in cinemas so soon to cinemas reopening as well. Like, we've literally just opened our doors,
yeah.
And the slate is incredible, but I think In the Earth really does stand out amongst the other films out.
You know, there's a kind of conversation that's going on, which is like, oh, you know, have we all been uneducated to, you know, by watching loads of stuff on at home, are we being untrained to go to the cinema? And that's the kind of the glass half full kind of way of looking at it. Something struck me the other day, which was part of hearing back from the press screenings, was that in a way, this might be the thing that shows the difference between home viewing and cinema viewing. And that when you go back and see that first film, that you see whatever it is, will be so intense and different from all the stuff that you've been watching at home that should remind people what it is, the advantages of watching things in cinemas rather than just because you don't want to get your ass off your sofa.
You know? I couldn't have put it better myself. Thank you so much, Ben. It's been great to talk to you. And In the Earth is in cinemas now. Thanks very much.
See you, Sam. Bye.
Cheers, Ben. Bye.